Beautiful, wonderful place. I am so thankful to be in this body of Christ. I came here a lot of years ago, and it was just a small little building that would fit maybe half those pews, and God has grown it and blessed it. And I have I'm astounded how God takes, even on our best, we fail and we stumble. When we try to do our very best, we'd make mistakes, and God somehow takes it and makes it something awesome. It's amazing to me. A wise man learns from his mistakes, right? That'd be smart, right? You do something, make a mistake, and you learn, you don't do it again. But a wiser man will learn from someone else's. Okay? That's called experience, right? So all you young people, some of your parents may or may not admit it, they've made a few mistakes over the years. And when they tried to teach you things and show you things, it's sometimes just because they're watching you do the same thing they did with some really bad results, and they want to stop you from running down that same path. So I know that's my case for sure in a lot of situations. So tonight, I would be willing to bet, I'm going to throw a question at you, and it has to do with that verse. Somebody has asked this question, if not all, many of us, this very day. What is your will, God? Maybe it was about work. Maybe it was about your ministry. Maybe it was about your family. Fill in the blank. Could have been about all of those things in one day. Maybe Brother Portman just said that tonight as he was up here. Wait a minute, Lord. Are you trying to move this in a different direction? And that's what I want to talk about tonight for all of us. And kind of the flow of it is we're going to talk about that for a few minutes, and then we're going to try to apply that. And we want to open the altar and then do these very things that we talk about and ask God, would you tonight speak to me individually and direct me for your will? And I believe he's going to do that for some people tonight. I love that. You ever go to pray and you're just kind of stumped at what to start with, right? You know, you're like, oh boy, how do we, God, okay, hey, Jesus, how you doing? You know, it's like, and I always come back to this. And actually the first verse, you know, our Father. I mean, right there, you could preach on our all night because he's ours. But he's our Father. How is he our Father in creation? So every single human being on the face of this earth is our brother and sister in creation. We're brothers and sisters bought with a price. But to think that everyone we would rub shoulders with and stuff are our brothers and sisters, and God loves them and loves us, that he made us. We talked in Sunday school about making a box. Say if the box went from earth to the sun, say it was that big, that high, that wide. And we tell the kids, you could not fit God in that box. I mean, our minds can't comprehend how huge he is, how big he is. And that's the type of God that we're going to say, wait a minute, Lord, what's your plan for my life? And the opening verse tonight is right there. Thy will be done on earth that is in heaven. So that tells me there's a plan up in heaven for me. A written plan for John, a written plan for Kevin, a written plan for Eden, for today. And our job and our challenge is to match up to that plan. Maybe I'm just supposed to talk to someone at Pick and Save. You know, maybe I'm supposed to encourage a brother at church. But it could be many, many things. So I love the Lord's Prayer. So JFK said, ask not what you could do for or what your country could do for you, right? We've heard that. He said, what can you do for your country? And I believe that's how God operates. So when we look at God's will, he wants to take us to become doers and tools in his hand. When we come to church, a lot of times we tend to be needy. God has to clean us up, do these things for us, give us attention, right? Recognition, this and that. But then he expects us to kind of move on and start to grow. And we don't have to be the center of attention. We don't have to be the focus. And God will allow the pastors to sometimes highlight those new folks, to give them an excitement and a note, you know, a recognition so that they can get their feet wet and get going in God. We are looking at our dog today, you know. You bring out the dog food. You ever watch an animal? They're fun to watch. And she just digs in, man. You know, she got into something the other day, and Rhonda thinks it might have been a frog or something. She got really sick. It was not pretty. And but think of it. A dog can't thank you, owner John, owner Rhonda. Thank you so much for bringing me this food. I appreciate you so much. They can't do it. A fish can't do it. A horse. Now, you kind of feel like a dog can be affectionate and stuff. But we are the one creation that can take a minute and acknowledge the mighty Savior, acknowledge the mighty God. That is such a great privilege. So we're going to talk about his will for a few minutes. And there is a general will of God for everybody. No matter who you are, whether you're just a little baby, well, obviously you have to grow up a little bit, but it's going to apply to every single human being on the face of the earth. And the first one that comes to my mind, and this is not an exhaustive list, it's just touching on some main points, is that none would perish. God is willing that nobody would perish, not one. So it is his plan as the Father of creation and Father of human beings that every single one of us is saved. Every single one of us is his bride. So if you have loved ones or friends that you grieve for or pray for, realize God loves them more than you do, more than I do. And of all the things that God does, it's saving souls. He didn't want to be known for making a big mountain range, big whip, you know, or the roaring waves, you know, God created all that. No, he wants to show all of creation and eternity that I took that heart that nobody ever thought could be saved, and I saved it. So some of the general will is all that we all repent. Luke talks about it. Repent or likewise perish. So if you haven't repented, it is God's will you do it. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody in here is applicable. So if you're brand new tonight, your first night, or you've been here for 40 years, it's God's will. Paul said he repented daily. He died daily. So it was a thing he did over and over again. It's God's will you're baptized in Jesus' name. If God's been talking to you about that, there's a baptismal right there. If you haven't done it, and the Bible teaches us that it'll wash your sins away. It's God's will that you get his Spirit. Amen. Now, I like this part. There's so much to go into here. But Romans 8:27, if you want to throw that up, I don't know if they still have it. It says that the Spirit's going to pray for us, intercede for us. You know, kind of let's get God's will going here for you, because you can't even pray right. Yeah. When God looks at me, that's what he has to say sometimes. But he intercedes. But when I have his Spirit and I pray in the Spirit, then God can do that for me. Amen. I remember one time years ago, I was praying this long, long time ago, and I had such a burden. I was over here somewhere, and it was kind of an alone time where nobody was here at the church, and I literally saw a vision of a lady. And I'm like, God, was I praying for that lady? And then, you know, I kind of got the impression that was true. And so there's many, many things in the general will of God for all of us. And it's not an exhaustive list, but those are some of the big points. So if you haven't done those things, no, it is God's will you do it. God's will that you're sanctified. God's will that we become holy. And holy means separate. Holy means his chosen select. And so these are things that God wants to perform in all of our lives. And then there's a specific will. There's stuff that I may not be able to do that you can do, Brother Portman. But God said in your life, nope. For maybe my personality. There's things he can't do maybe that some of us do. And we're okay. We're not in sin. But God speaks to us concerning these things. And he shows us. So there's a specific will, which is very specific. So I can't get too specific because it's going to be based upon your life. The question is, are you willing, am I willing to do God's will. There was an old saying, and actually a preaching message on it was the title. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You know, that's an old saying. And really, it's God said it, and that settles it. Oh, by the way, I happen to believe it. Me believing something settles nothing with God. Once he speaks it, he's all powerful. I just happen to join the party. That's a good thing. But me, like, you need my endorsement to make God's word applicable? No, he doesn't need any of our endorsements. And so when his will is there, we have to seek it. I found it interesting, and I really appreciate what Brother Coffey talked about the other night, and touching base on allowing some of the different people to really focus on praying and seeking God first. And then Sunday night, what did he talk about? Getting to God first, right? Getting God's plan first. And when we're looking for God's will, we have to go to him first. You might want to be an evangelist, but maybe that's not God's plan. I know, are we big enough to look in the mirror and say, you know, I just got to do it God's way? I know that I've seen a great, yes, I almost feel like this is a proverb or Ecclesiastes, fault in humankind, in our flesh, just living life, okay? Also the Bible. A huge trap in the human condition. And this is what happens. And if there's one point that maybe if they could just soak in and really take some time to think about this over time, is I have seen where a person, and even myself, we can all do it, we want something, and we justify everything else to fulfill that. And we'll even say it's God's will. We do that as humans. We do. I see it all the time. I see my own flesh try to do it from time to time. I met a great pastor in our state of Wisconsin. Years ago, we used to do youth work. We went up to youth camp 20-some years ago, and we were eating at a picnic table, and we were just sharing stories and this and that. And he goes, you know, my will, I wanted to be an evangelist. And he goes, I sold everything, gave it to the church. I sold a business, a house. And he goes, it was not God's will. And he said, I paid for that. Now, God blessed him, of course, for his kindness and giving. But he said, I lost out on a lot of things that God never required of me. And he pretty much admitted to me, I went forward. I pushed ahead. And sometimes we have this picture in our mind, what we want. And so we tell God, you know, this is what we're going to do. And then we get friends to agree with us. It's human condition. We all do it. Especially in the workplace. Look at the people in the world do this all the time. And you know they're doing something really bad, really not okay. But they'll get a whole gang of people patting them on the back. Yeah, do. Oh, bless you. Do it. Be strong. Do it. So Vesta Magnin, great prophet of our movement. She preached a message, and we saw, some of us seen the video or tapes or whatever. And she spoke of an angel visited her. Pastors referred to this. And she talked about flowing of the Spirit and how when the preacher would move his hands, rainbows would come off, and the Spirit would just flow through the congregation and go out into the streets and minister there. And there was just an amazing anointing. And then she talked about things that would quench the Spirit or stop it. Put a cold, you know, a wet towel on it. And one of the things was kind of shocking to me, because obviously murder and hatred, you know, it's like the obvious things. It was aspiring, aspirations. Wow, at first, like, whoa, you know, because there's even verses that says, you know, you desire to be a bishop. But when we're desiring things that aren't in God's will, then we're in trouble. And that was what she had referred to, because we could be in a place where We want something, but it's not what God wants. And one thing I really love about this church, and I've been around since shortly after Pastor started out, Pastor Schumacher, and I can say the same thing about pastors, Portman and Portman. They didn't ask for this. They didn't try out. Pastor Schumacher didn't want this. He didn't sign up. It is a calling for these men and women. They were called, and I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the fact that this isn't something they wanted to, you know, hey, let's do that. And they'll run a business for 10 years after that. You know, we'll see, do 15 years there. And no, it's something that is a calling on them. And I can follow that. You know, we used to do, when we did youth work, we had sometimes kids that didn't want to get with the program. I know that's hard to believe. teenagers. And sometimes they wouldn't even be from our church. And we would have to say, because they would come in and do a lot of contradictory stuff, you know. What we believed, there was contradictions, and we'd say, you know, you really need to put yourself 100% behind what we're about, or put yourself under a pastor that you support. If you have these different belief systems, you need to go there or else conform to what's here, because you're just causing division. And it's funny, because if we do it God's way, there's going to be unity. And so I always appreciated that. So how do we make sure it's God's will? That's a good question, right? Wow, there's so many things. You know, when I thought I was supposed to talk about the heart, like that was the whole lesson, the heart. The heart defined is your innermost feelings and your innermost being, but feelings in particular. This is a really dangerous thing about our society right now. I feel, you know, I really feel, you know, the Bible teaches us to, our feelings can guide us, but they should not lead us. Because the Bible does say, try the spirits. So you have to use feelings there. You have to use your experience too. But it concerns me when all of what someone's about is built on feeling. And some of us are more touchy-feely than others. That's okay. God made us all different. There's some people so sensitive, and they're the kindest, they do the sweetest, nicest things. But then they're offended very easy, too. And then there's those hard, you know, rhinoceros skin people who offend everybody every turn, but nothing offends them. And we need all these people in the church. So God somehow blends us together. But I get concerned, because the Word of God is our guide. The man of God is our guide. That's how we can know we're in the will of God. So the Word of God and the man of God. So if you're new here and you're like, boy, I don't know much Bible, there are good, godly counselors in this building. Of course, these being the first choice when you can. But there's other solid men and women of God in this building that you can, hey, what does the Bible say about this? Can you show me those scriptures? And that will guide you in the right way. You know, it's not break room time. And, hey, what do you guys think, man? I got this issue. Or you're at, you know, charcoal grill, and you go over to the bar area. The guy's sitting there. He's half drunk. And you're like, what do you think about this? What should I do here? Not good counselors. Not the people at work in the break room, okay? You're going to want to go to the man of God or good, solid saints of God for the Word of God if you don't know it. And ultimately, the man of God. If you have a serious decision to make, trust the man and woman of God in your life. And that's a check and a balance, folks. And sometimes they can possibly be wrong, folks. They're human. But it's not right for me to not submit to them. And if God is in it, then he will make the way in his time. In his way. Because we don't have a Lord over us here in Racine. We don't have lording men of God that want to shove us around and tell us what to do and what not to do. Okay? So, the Word of God, the man of God. Let's not trust our hearts, folks. The Bible teaches us about that. And we have such a world that's saying, do what you feel. It feels right, do it. You know, and if you talk to enough people, they're going to get enough people that'll tell you it's okay. But don't contradict the Word of God if you want to be blessed. Now, I wanted to wrap up tonight. Not yet. You're like, oh, yeah, hey, let's go get Culver's. with an altar, and I'm not going to be long, but part of that altar is to just say, God, what is your will in my life? Maybe you can ask him, where am I supposed to be right now? What am I supposed to be doing? Is there something in this church, and the answer is yes, by the way, that I could be doing, help out? I want to build this thing up. There is needs everywhere. I don't want to embarrass Kennedy, but she's just, has offered her. We need help in Bible quizzing, junior Bible quizzing. And she's been like, Brother John, is there something I can do? I just love that spirit. Just what, you want me to sweep up, clean up, you know, whatever, straighten up, whatever. And I believe God wants us to be like that. Whatever God would say, you just do it. Oh, you want me to vacuum the church right now? Okay, I'll do it, God. I'll do it. And so we want to ask his will. You know, I saw two stories this week. We were talking about Jonah. I bet you everybody here knows Jonah, right? You could tell the story, right? Raise your hand if you know Jonah. I just want to make sure. How about way back there? Can you tell me Jonah? Just kidding. Okay, so you know Jonah, and who knows the story about Jesus and when he fell asleep in the ship, right? I found, isn't that amazing? Two, they were exactly the same story almost concerning the men that's asleep in the ship. Because Jonah was fast asleep, and when you study that, they had to dump water on him, wake him up. But one guy, Jonah, out of the will of God. In fact, he went away from the will of God. Nineveh's that way. I'm going that way. Jesus in the perfect will of God. We know that. There's no questions there. He's dead asleep in the ship. Two ships, two storms, two men dead asleep in the bottoms of the ships. One in the will of God, one out of the will of God. And we were teaching on that in Sunday school, and it just had occurred to me. And I thought, wow, look at how that story ended. Jonah, the answer to his problem was, toss me overboard, and a great fish swallowed him for 3 days. If it wasn't for Jesus being in the tomb or in hell for 3 days, I don't know if he'd have made it. He needed another object lesson for the world to see. And then the fish gags him up on the beach. I hate water when it's dangerous. I like water, okay. Pond or lakes and stuff are cool. But boy, you start getting it uneasy and stuff where you think maybe you're going down. There's no place I'd want to be than on a shaky boat or like out on the cruise in the ocean and storms are hitting. No, thank you. I'll take my storms on land. But even in Jesus' case, what did they say? Lord, we're going to die. It was nasty. These were two terrible storms. In Jonah's case, they were throwing goods off. Imagine you're so scared, you're throwing your livelihood because this cost them something. It'd be like throwing your tablet over and your speakers and whatever, your car, your moped. I don't know. What has he got in the ship? All your goods, your gold. You don't just do that. You're scared for your life. And same here, these guys pulling their hair out and they come down to Jesus and, Lord, don't you care about us? I picture just crazy. But look at this one here, out of the will of God, just down in a belly. And it's actually a sad story really with Jonah because he sat on the hill and wanted to see him destroyed. We won't go into that too much, but just miserable. And look at the answer to stopping that storm. Who wants to go in a fish's belly to get the storm away? Jesus, though, what's the answer to his storm? Here he is, in the will of God, and there's still a storm just like this one. So you can be doing everything. You could be doing everything right tonight. You could be living for God, paying tithes, being kind, keeping your mouth shut when you really wanted to tell someone what you felt, doing everything you felt you God wanted you to do, and you're in a storm up to your head. You're underwater, and you're like, "What in the world?" But Jesus was the Prince of Peace. That's why he could sleep through it all. He had no stress on the sin. He knew we were going under their sin. But them guys, was it God's will they were in the boat? Yeah. Jesus said, we're going over there. So they were in God's perfect will. They were in the will of God. So tonight, don't let the fact that maybe you have stormy seas not deflect your thoughts that you are not in God's will. You might be right where you're supposed to be. I love the title of a message. Preaches a whole nother message there. The devil has you right where God wants you. And sometimes God does it. That's scriptural too. In the Old Testament, one time he says, who's going to go talk to... We'll go to his prophets, Lord, and be a lying spirit. And he said, go and you will prevail. So God does allow the devil to do things. But we don't have to fear that because he's going to take care of us. But here's the thing. Are we going to be in God's will? That's the challenge for you and I tonight. What is his will, number one? I believe, as I start to wrap things up here, we had some dairy farmers that lived next to us, big-time farmers. And my dad liked to talk, so he would take me over there. And we go in the barns, and I mean, he went there one time. He had a tux on. That's a bad mistake. I mean, they said he reeked like a barn at the wedding. Going to a barn with a tuxedo on. So, anyways, but he would go there, and the Hebrons were the name. They're out in Raymond, and they talk too. But you know what they would tell you? Oh, hey, Kevin, grab a shovel. They talk, but man, they were shoveling manure, then they'd go and shovel and shavings, and you would talk, but they wouldn't just stand there and talk like this. You grabbed a shovel and talked with them and worked with. I remember at first it took me back, you know, it's like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this, you know. I got to do work to talk to this guy. And that story came to my mind because I just feel like God's wanting to prompt some of us to go ahead and grab a shovel here in our church. Grab a Bible, grab a shovel, grab. And if you don't know what to do, here you go. You know the best question you could ask the pastors? What would God have me to do, or what can I do to offer? I'll do anything I can. It's not like the couple that went up and said, you know, we're going to get married, pastors. What do you think? He's not going to talk you out of it unless it's a, you know, crazy situation. You've already made your mind up. But to come forward, and that's the attitude I think that you kind of mentioned a little in the minister Sunday, that we would come and check in with God first. Brother Portman, I know it. God wants me to preach, so these are the days I'm available. Brother Portman, I got a really good voice, and you know Kevin needs a break. I'm going to start doing some more of these. I'm going to open service more often. No, we're not going to enter like that. We're going to ask God. What would God have us to do? Remember, it's thy will be done. In the last verse I want to share with you today is what Jesus said on the cross. What did he say? We can all just, right? Not my will. Nevertheless, Lord. And you know, he showed a moment of flesh there of, oh my goodness, I don't want to go through this. This is horrifying. That little glimpse of his flesh. It was not a sin for him to have that pass through his mind. Nevertheless, Lord, for just a moment you saw that humanity of like, get me down off it. Let's get out of here. And he said, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And the fruit that he gave from that whole thing, you know, our ability to be saved. If you would stand right now, could we ask God together? And the musicians can come. Right now, I just kind of felt like God was saying, it's a call to arms. It's a call to grab a shovel, somebody. If you've been wondering, what could I do? God, why don't you ask God what you could do for him? Do you know, there are nurseries and Sunday schools and a lot of ministries that really could use some devoted help. And maybe God's laid it on your heart that that is something you're going to bring forward. There are so many things that need to be done here. So many areas that God could use you. And I don't care if you're 10, 11, 12, or 80. There is a place for you. There is a thing for you to do. You have a good will song? I don't know. Did you need to come up, Brother Pastor Portman? Okay. Why don't we ask him right now? Would you come? Would you ask Jesus? I believe he's going to talk to you tonight. And if you're not sure, talk to your pastor. Talk to your spiritual mentor. Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will, God? We have a little extra time tonight, Lord. Help me to just unwind for a moment, Lord, in this busy life we have. Direct us, God. Speak to your awesome army here, Lord, awesome brothers and sisters, people that are the greatest people on the face of the earth.